the song this morning we sang, The Solid Rock, has everything to do with our message this morning that you have. The Solid Rock speaks of stability in our lives and a place of refuge, but we're going to be talking about sailing this morning and shipwrecks, and often on the seas there is no refuge, but when times of peril come, it's a time to throw out the anchor. And we'll read our opening verse of 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning and then give the title of the message, beginning in verse number 17. Paul says to Timothy, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." Timothy was not his physical son, but he won him to the Lord and treated him as an adopted son. He really cared for him. He says, "According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Is your faith shipwrecked this morning? Is the title of this message and the topic of our discussion. Let us pray and take our shipwrecks to Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son who died on the cross for us, but then 50 days later, you gave us your Holy Spirit as an indwelling compass, wind in our sails to carry us along in the direction that we are to go, the rudder and the keel, and every vital part, Lord, of our journey through the rest of our life, we can trust in thee. And Lord, when we get shipwrecked, it's usually our fault, but Father, may we realize at times you take us through perilous places, Lord, to help us to lean on you. And Father, help us now to understand the various aspects of this message, Lord, that we might learn from it and be able to trust more in you in this very uncertain day we live in 2012. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is your faith shipwrecked? Paul tells us that he was involved in three shipwrecks during his journeys, probably all likely his missionary journeys. Have you ever thought about that? The guy lived in Tarsus. He was born there. So even if his residence was in Jerusalem, he made probably regular journeys. He was not a poor man, being Pharisee of Pharisees. He would make journeys back and forth to Tarsus to see family and friends. Did he ever have a shipwreck when he was just going to see family and friends? Back and forth to Jerusalem to teach people how to come under condemnation of the law? Probably not. All three of his shipwrecks likely happened on his three missionary journeys. I've not studied this out so much. I don't think we have the details of that. But he only tells us of one shipwreck experience. So perhaps he had one shipwreck per journey. But if you've ever looked at a map of the Aegean Sea, it's littered with rocks. On the front of our bulletin, it's a very scary looking situation of a storm and rocks on a shore with a ship that's run aground. And rocks become the enemy of any sailing vessel. But you see, because he was on a real mission for God, someone tried to stop him on the way. He was a prisoner bound on his way to Rome, yet that's when he had one of his shipwrecks. Because the gospel was about to come to the center of the Roman Empire, and Satan didn't want that to happen. He tried to drown the apostle in the sea. Having gone through three individual shipwrecks, the apostle thought that this would make a very good metaphor, a spiritual metaphor for losing one's faith. He says, "Which some having put away faith have made shipwreck, What have they made shipwreck of? Well, you make shipwreck of your own life. If you have a family, you shipwreck them too. They have no captain on the ship. You shipwreck friends and your co-workers. We are to be a light in every place that we go. And if we decide to cut the anchor loose and just give up on the journey and run aground, well, there's no hope for the people around us. So we can make other people's lives shipwrecked as well. We need to realize we are not the only ones on board the ship. You may be the only saved person on your ship, but it really all depends on you, what happens to the vessel. Other people can be saved. We're not going to look at this story of Paul's shipwreck. We'll spend too much time there. But he did tell the people not to be overly concerned. They were about to throw food and everything overboard. He says, hang on, not a soul will be lost. God's told me everyone will survive this. And at least so he saved them from fear. And as God saved every last soul and they made their way to a safe shore, no doubt they realized he had the blessing of God and perhaps put more trust in his message. You see, even if our life is shipwrecked, the big shipwreck is not the problem. It's what are we going to do once we're shipwrecked? That's what really matters. And we'll look at some different options that we have. Australia's vast number of empty, partly empty, or even padlocked churches is a real symptom that far too many people in this land have lost their faith and their ship has run aground and they no longer believe in God at all. Sadly, too many of the ministers standing in churches throughout Australia do not even testify of the literal bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are just have no business behind a pulpit preaching. In fact, the people go away discouraged. This has been the testimony of someone in our own church who visited a church in the city and the despair that they went away with from the minister who brought forth the message. We need to be giving people hope, and there's only one hope, and that is in the message of the gospel and the person it speaks of. I don't know about you, but I've seen a few padlocked churches. I have seen plenty of churches with no padlocks, but I've never seen the doors open. I've just never seen it. In the summer, the doors not even open. In a city environment where people could just walk in and go sit down, pick up a Bible, a hymn, pray, just sit there looking for something, and the doors are slammed shut. And they're probably locked as well. No padlock, but the doors are not open. And perhaps that's because there's nothing on the inside anyway. That is the sign of a closed door. You may not have totally abandoned your ship like Hymenaeus and Alexander, totally giving up on the faith altogether, going into blasphemy. Maybe you've not gone that far, but you're standing on the edge of the bow waiting to jump into those frigid waters. Everyone wants off a ship when the waves are pounding and beating it and the ship's leaning over and you're usually very near shore and you're wanting to jump over, but oftentimes there's more safety in the ship than jumping into the stormy waters. And so it's a real perilous time. You don't know what to do. You've radioed for help, but you don't know if help is coming, if help heard or not. All the lifelines are gone. We've sang the message throughout the lifeline, and maybe all the life rafts are gone. Maybe your last friend has betrayed you, and you just don't know who to call. Maybe mom's no longer around, and you can't call her. But Jesus is always near. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe your faith is not shipwrecked. Maybe you've not hit rock yet, but there's a crack in the hull, and your ship's taking on water fast. That's never a good sign. But if you don't do something fast, and your boat's sure to sink in due time, and you'll be treading water, looking for a lifeline. What we want to do now is look at four things. What to do when you feel a shipwreck coming on, when you feel a spiritual shipwreck coming on. Now, I get this feeling no less than once a day. It just comes. People in ministry, often they don't see the results they want, or they have a lot of disappointments in their life, but no less than a thought of shipwreck a day, I also find one lifeline a day. It's got Jesus' name written on it. You know those little white rings with the little red stripe on it? It's got the name of the ship on it. I see that lifeline every day. It says Jesus on it. And I just say, okay, I'm staying on the ship no matter what. I'll just wait for the rescue. It's too perilous in the water. So, it's good to, that's what we're talking about today. And the first thing to do when you feel a spiritual shipwreck coming on is throw out your anchor. Okay? If you don't have an anchor, you're sure to hit those rocks. You know when you're reaching shallow land, but you don't want to hit rocks, you need to throw out an anchor. Now, as we move on just to the next chapter here in 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, we're jumping to Hebrews. You want to, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Paul says that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for the refuge, fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I used to think that this anchor was Jesus. But it is not Jesus. Similarly, our anchor of hope and our hope is placed in Jesus. And that's what the verse says. And we want to talk about two concepts here of faith and hope. A classic verse comes to mind when we talk about faith and hope. Back to Hebrews 6, see, it goes on to the fact that Jesus has entered in before. So the anchor is the first part of steadying our life from peril that lies ahead. But a classic verse comes to mind in Hebrews 11, verse 1, about faith and hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word here for substance is often translated assurance. So you could read this verse again. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You often have an assurance of something that you cannot feel or touch, but you know it's a reality. And assurance and hope go hand in hand. But we cannot define biblical faith unless we do it in the light of hope. Nor can we define hope unless we define it in the light of faith. That's a quote from Jacob Fresh. And hope and faith are interconnected. And you see, when we talk about losing faith, it often means we've lost hope. You know, we stop soul winning and sharing the gospel because we don't see anyone get saved. So we lose faith in the fact that people respond to the gospel. We can lose faith in anything. And the easiest thing to lose faith in is friends. Friends are just human. Friends are just like us. Yeah, and we don't even depend on ourselves. So why would we depend on a friend? But Jesus is the one that will never fail us. We need to have a real anchor that holds. We think of hope as being synonymous with I wish. You know, we say, I hope so, or meaning I wish. But in the Bible, this is not the case. Hope is, in biblical terms, is based on a future fact. Hope is based on a future fact. See, when we hope in this natural world, we're hoping in something that we know we may not see. What kind of hope is that? That's no hope at all. But in the Gospels, in the Bible, when we hope in a biblical promise, that is a reality. That's something we can trust in. We know that Jesus is coming. And we know that we'll see Him one way or the other, whether we die first or He comes first. So we have a sure hope there. Where would our faith in God and the Scriptures be today if Moses had not hoped to see his people delivered from the bondage of Egypt? Maybe that's why he went anyway. He says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm of a slow speech. He gave three excuses and finally says, you know, call my brother Aaron. He'll do a much better job. But Moses went because he wanted his people to be saved. So he held on to hope. What about if Joshua had not hoped to see Israel go on to victory after their defeat in Ai? What about if Hannah had given up hope on having a son? She had given up hope there would be no Samuel. But what did she do? She made her little journey to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. And she prayed there before God. She brought her offering, and she prayed, and she says, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you in 3 years. And so God honored that. She didn't give up. She held on to hope. These saints were all faced with an obstacle that caused them to throw out their anchor, to hold out hope in the unseen hand of God. We read in the song this morning, The Solid Rock, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. That's what the writer in Hebrews said after we were just reading, that Jesus has entered into the veil. And then his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming or overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, then he is all my hope and stay. Let's talk about faith that is connected with hope. Faith may seem easy to cling to when all is going well, but when life circumstances overwhelm your faith, that's not the time to let go. You see, it's easy to say, oh, I don't feel well today, I'll just stay home. I've been healed at church before of a simple backache. I mean a backache where I had every excuse to stay home. But I went there, and it was funny, I was bowed over. I know I may have told this story before, but I was bowed over a little bit, and the associate pastor thought I was praying, so he thought he'd call me up to pray. It's a large church. Anyway, but I was humped over with back pain. But I went up there and prayed, and I returned to my seat with the back of a teenager, just nice and healthy and strong. But when I walked out that church at the end of the service, my back pain returned, but I got healed during the service. The point is, God was showing me, if you'll always bring your decaying body to church, I'll uphold your spirit forever. You see, we're often concerned with the physical body, but we're not concerned with our spirit. Well, your body may be sick. Now, we know there's times you cannot make it to church, and you better not come sometimes. But if you're able, come here, because the idea is not only our spirit, our physical man is going to die. That's already predetermined. But our spiritual man is not ever going to die. It's ever growing in God's grace. And we need to grow that inner man, inner woman. And so we want to gather together and get strength for the journey, strength for the inner man. We don't want to give up when life's circumstances overwhelm us. We just need to throw out the anchor. The church is not the only place you have an anchor. My mother did this all my growing up. Ladies would call the house, or she would call in, and that's back in those days when you had one telephone in the house and you had a real long cord on it. You could walk all over the house with this cord. But she would just sit down in the hallway. The cord was 3 meters long. But she would just sit there in the hallway right under the phone and talk for 30 minutes to ladies with their problems, and they would pray. And, you know, ladies called her throwing out the lifeline, throwing out an anchor, and my mother was their anchor, somebody that cared. That's about what it amounted to, somebody that cared. And they would listen and pray. So yeah, everyone's got at least one spiritual friend, or you should have, that you can call on to for that anchor when you need them. Now, looking at the word faith, the Hebrew word is emunah, and so it's the word for faith, also translated faithfulness. Now, I only looked this just a week ago as I was reading this article by Jacob Presch. So, when we see the word faith, you can replace it with the word faithfulness, and you know, in our mind, English, that's two different words. We talk about having faith in God. We also talk about having faithfulness towards God. We need to realize that you cannot be restored in your faith if you've lost faith. You cannot be restored in your faith without displaying a measure of faithfulness. We often get in a situation, we lose our faith, and we find ourselves going nowhere. Well, it needs a little activity on our part. Anytime you're feeling blue or down or whatever, get away from walls and ceilings. Get out in the open heavens and nature that God made, and your spirit opens up. Your mind opens up. And you don't want to be boxed in, as it were. But so to lift your own spirit, your own faith, you have to get active. God is expecting us to do something. God says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. But when you factor in this Hebrew word that also means faithfulness, let's read it again. But without faithfulness it is impossible to please God. Would everyone agree to that? Oh yeah. We cannot please God unless we are faithful. We look to God saying, oh, I have faith in God, and then we worry, worry, worry. But He's looking for us to demonstrate a measure of faithfulness. It's easy for some to blame God for their dire circumstances and lose faith. They say, well, they've lost, the whole generation of Holocaust survivors have lost faith in God. But you know what? Before they ever lost that faith, have they been truly faithful? Because if we are constant in our faithfulness, you see, faith in God's dependent on us, not Him. God's unchanging. He says, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. So God's not the issue, it's us. So our faith in God is only going to dwindle with our faithfulness. Some blame God for the dire circumstances, and they lose faith, but there's no excuse for losing your faithfulness to God. Yes, you might lose faith in God, but if you lose your faithfulness to God, you can throw it all out the window. It's never coming back. But if you try to be faithful, do what you can. We teach our children to tithe because the idea is it's just a connection with God. In a family, you know, if a child asks for money, if we think they're worthy of it, they need it. Money's just a tool to help one another, and our faithfulness is a tool to keep our faith in God. But if we're faithful to God in tithes, if we're faithful to God in fellowship, connecting with other saints, attendance at church, if we're faithful and faithful in just obedience to God's known word in every area of our life, these things will bring in the blessing of faith in God. But tithing is only one way to experience God. And when we say tithing, we're just talking about general giving. It's not a measure of how much, but how you give. But it's an opportunity. Everything we do for God is an opportunity to see God do back. It doesn't matter what it is. Encourage somebody, because tomorrow you're going to need the encouragement. So faithfulness, it blesses other people, it touches God's heart, but it also helps you. Your faith in God will never exceed your faithfulness to God. I wrote this sentence, and then I got looked at it, and said, is that right? And I have to keep saying it to myself, but I believe it's true. Your faith in God will never exceed your faithfulness to God. Our faith in God grows as we are more faithful. The less faithful you are, the less faith you have in God. So these things go hand in hand. Their faith and faithfulness are like your right hand and left hand. And so if your right hand of faith is weak, then let it join with your left hand of faithfulness. Take those two hands of faith and faithfulness together, grab hold of the anchor, and throw it overboard into the raging, swirling sea, and the anchor will surely find the bottom. So if one's lacking, but see, it all falls on faithfulness. If your faithfulness is strong, your faith in God is strong. But if your faith in God is weak, then that's the symptom of your faithfulness. So we need to keep both of these in mind. Well, that's a very long measure of time we've spent just on the first point. But let's look at the second thing you do when you feel a spiritual shipwreck coming on. It's better to pay attention before you actually shipwreck. But once you hit rock ground, you are in trouble. Second thing you do when you feel a spiritual shipwreck coming on is pray for favorable weather. If you throw the anchor out and you're still at a safe distance from land and you pray for favorable weather, well, there's great hope you won't even shipwreck, even though you know you're very close to shore. And if the weather doesn't change, things could get shaky, but with that anchor in the ground, you're not going to run aground. You see, that's where it all begins, with throwing out the anchor. And I didn't have it in my notes, but if you don't read your Bible daily, you have no anchor. Now, whether you read a verse, a chapter, or several chapters, doesn't matter. If you're not connected to the Word of God with a little devotional book, doesn't matter where you get your scripture from, if you're not getting a little bit of anchor every day, a little bit of Bible, you're not going to have an anchor for that day. and who knows what the storm will do to you. Now, as we continue on with our text, 1 Timothy, we move to chapter 2, just the very next verse from the last of chapter 1. We move to chapter 2, verse 1, talking about favorable weather. Paul says that I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So what Paul is saying is, pray for favorable weather. You see, in this country, you can go out and give out gospel tracts in the street. You can pray openly in the street with two people, pray in a restaurant before a meal, whatever. These things are perfectly tolerated, but in other lands, it's not. You can't even be seen walking with a Bible or found with one in your house. But even regardless, even in Australia, we need to pray that we would have a quiet and peaceable life and that is in our personal life, but in the world we live in. And there's many attacks on our culture trying to take scripture out of the schools in Victoria, the attack on marriage now in all states. But we need to pray for favorable weather. Yes, as society crumbles and these social problems arise, it is harder for us to maintain the status quo of a simple relationship with God. We're battling to stay in the journey and stay in life. So praying that God will keep war out of our land and keep society calm, these things are a good benefit to us. So no matter what age we are, what station in life we are, we can pray that God will grant us a peaceful life, that we can live in all godliness and honesty and quiet life. It is not quiet in the Middle East. That is a difficult place right now. If you're not a Christian, yes, the gospel is furthered often because people begin talking, but it's an uncertain time. We need to pray that God will work to improve our situation and help us in some way. If you've thrown out the anchor and you need the weather patterns to change so that you can pull up the anchor and sail on, maybe you need to, in praying for favorable weather, you need to find a prayer partner by phone or whatever. Find a friend, a book, a song in the night. God will do that to you. I'll give you some verse of scripture from your memory or thumbing through the book, the Bible, and give you something that will give you favorable weather. Yes, you may still be there waiting to rescue. Maybe your ship's taking on water as the anchor was thrown out. But the point is you want the winds to change, favorable weather, and so that things can look better. Also, what to do when you feel a spiritual shipwreck coming on is pray for others who've lost their faith or who have never at all come to faith. And that's there in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 6. Paul continues about prayer, saying that, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That rules out Mary. There's only one mediator. It says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So, we're concerned with our own faith. Pray for others that are on the ship with you. See, remember, you're not on this ship alone. Others are on the ship. And if you're losing faith and confidence and hope, then certainly they are too. That's what Paul did. I think it's Acts, in the very end of Acts, about chapter 20, you'll find it in the latter part of Acts, where he had the shipwreck, and he encouraged all the men on board not to go crazy, that God had guaranteed the soul of everyone on board. And so as you keep your faith and be concerned with others, you don't want others to follow you. There are so many preachers, particularly in America, but there's preachers everywhere in all countries that have given up and quit. But if you give up and quit, that's where we started with our introduction, there is no hope for those around you. Someone on the ship has to be the spiritual captain and keep others giving them hope. If you're in a difficult place spiritually, realize that you're not alone. Finally, we'll just rehearse these three before we go on to the final. You want to throw out the anchor. You want to pray for favorable weather. And you want to pray for others that are their faith is dwindling. if you're praying for others not to totally lose faith, God will answer your prayer and keep, help you to keep your faith. Finally, look for fair lands. We've been in the book of Hebrews with half our scripture quotes here. Hebrews 11, verse 14 through 16, talking about looking for fair lands. For they, talking about these, the roll call of faith, these faithful saints, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Just like the Israelites wanted to return to Egypt where they had all their little herb gardens around their houses. He says, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their Father, for He has prepared for them a city. What do you do if your faith becomes shipwrecked? You better be looking for something to float on and then cling hold of it and then look for some dry land. You want off that ship ultimately. There's no salvation on the ship. You're looking for fair lands, but you know what? With the persecuted church, wherever they've been for 2,000 years is, they have no fair land on this earth. They'll find no hope in this earth. If they're in a jail cell, there is no hope on this earth. Their hope is in the next world, the world to come. And Jesus talked about that much. He talked about rewards for this life and the world to come. But those that look to this better world and this eternal world will not get bogged down with what's going on in this life. We all go through trying circumstances. But if we focus on what we're going through now, then we're just saying, God, what happens in the future doesn't even matter. I don't even care. All I care about is right now. Well, right now, if we just keep our spirit man strong, spirit woman strong, and share the gospel with people and strengthen our own other believers around us, we'll do well, and before we know it, that fair land has come. But it's easy to get swallowed up in the circumstances of life. But if you'll focus on something other than yourself is a great help. But that's what these saints did. They were not afraid to give their lives for the gospel's sake because they knew the moment they died, they would be in fair lands in heaven. And so they were willing to take the gospel anywhere. But as we talk about losing faith and losing our faithfulness, that's called backsliding. And it's a misplaced trust because backsliding is like trusting in this world or looking for something here. See, when we live for God, we're actually looking for what's coming, the eternal world. This life we live is that long. That's about it compared to the rest of eternity. And so if we're looking for things here to steady our hope, we're looking in the wrong place. We need to look eternally. Looking for fair lands, we're talking about, as you know, eternity. Titus 2:13. Talk about the greatest hope. Paul says, looking for that blessed hope, and remember, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus is God, the great God, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. Earlier, we said in Hebrews that Jesus was not hope. But our hope is placed in Him. So here he even says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. So hope is looking towards the future in general. If you're looking for hope right here and now to get you out of your circumstances, maybe that's not what God wants for us. What He's warning us to do is to look for Him. Now I may have this thing on hope a little bit askew, but if I've done one thing, I've got you to search your scriptures. They told us this in Bible college. Sometimes we may tell you something wrong that we know you know will be wrong, and it'll make you go do your homework to prove us wrong, and then you come back to us. But we need to study this thing on hope and Jesus. But where does hope come from? It comes from us. It's just a matter of a decision we make. what we're going to do, which way we're going to go. Do we throw out the anchor or not? Jesus is not the anchor, but he's the help that's coming while our anchor is holding. But our hope is in things eternal. Some people are born with physical maladies or whatever, they have to live their whole life with them. That's never going to change. They can go to all the Benny Hinn crusades they want to. That thing's not going to change. Never will. He'll just fill up his buckets with money, your money. But you'll go out the same. Too many people have left his meetings in wheelchairs and have had people mad at them and dumped them out of their wheelchairs thinking they didn't have enough faith to be healed, and they're embarrassed for their God that he couldn't heal that person. It's a misplaced hope in man in general. And so God may have you with some physical infirmity, mental infirmity, whatever it is, because God's never hindered in our circumstances. In fact, that's how he does his work, is through our weaknesses. That's what he told Paul. So, as we think about faith and faithfulness, as we think about our shipwreck, we're about to run aground, but we do have an anchor. Everyone in this country has an anchor. It's called a Bible. Okay? Persecuted lands, some of them are without Bibles. If you've got a Bible, no excuse. So, with our Bibles, we have an anchor, and that's where we stop everything, and we have a chance from that point forward. All things can get better from that point forward. And when we lose faith in God or begin to lose faith, just increase your faithfulness, and you'll find that faith rising once again. Now let's rise from our seats, and we'll pray and seek God, seek our anchor, seek our hope, seek to be more faithful. Father, we thank you for this good time in your word. Your word is amazing. It holds us up, Lord. The anchor holds. We often get to the place we don't want to open our Bible. We don't feel like it, but therein lies all the answers, all the hope, all the faith that we'll ever have in you. But we need to have faithfulness just to open it. And if we'll do that, you'll honor it, and you'll build our faith again. But you're looking to us to make that first step. We have the decision to make. Throw out the anchor or the jump ship. We have many choices to make. Call for help or give up. Lord, help us in these uncertain times, and they're gaining more and more uncertainty day by day. Strengthen our faith by strengthening our faithfulness. Help us to be faithful. Day by day, moment by moment. Lord, give us hope. Some need more hope than others. Some's faith is small. But Lord, you can work with that. Some have great faith. You can work with that too, Lord. Just help us, most of all, not just to throw out the anchor and just remain motionless, but help us, Lord, to navigate the stormy waters and to get to our journey. Help us, Father. It is hard and harder to be faithful. We live in a world of temptation. Rocks everywhere. We are doing a zigzag course as we go on our journey on this stormy sea. Help us, Lord, to navigate through the rocks with that Holy Spirit compass that you've given us, that we might never run aground, never crack the hull, never take on water. But in any cases, when we do, Lord, help us to get through it and send Jesus before it's too late. Save our brothers and sisters, our friends and neighbors and co-workers, Lord, just do a work of grace in and through us. Help us to maintain the faith and faithfulness that others might have hope in these last days. Help us now as we just meditate and on your word and on the message we've heard, Lord, that we might be found faithful this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.